Our boys were lifeguards, we told ourselves, and were surely safe. Weren't they safe? They knew CPR, had shown us their fanny packs filled with Band-Aids and plastic breathing tubes. Xavier, Bobcat, and Charlie, my son, had taken the course together, weekend mornings at Barton Springs. We'd dropped them off at dawn, the Texas sun just starting to climb above the horizon, making the surface of the spring-fed swimming hole flash red and orange. We'd said we'd walk Lady Bird Lake together, or we'd stand up paddleboard or grab coffee. Instead, we smiled as we dropped the boys, went home to the adult lives we'd begun to create again now that our children were 15. I was ghostwriting a cookbook, Annette was working at Hola Amigos daycare, and Whitney had become an Austin real estate titan. Now that we no longer had endless summer days with elementary schoolers underfoot, it was harder to connect. But our friendship was unbreakable, as safe as the neighborhood where we'd raised our sweet little kids. Or so we thought. By the end of the summer, one of us would be gone. Where are they? I said, glancing at my watch. I liked wearing a thin gold watch I'd bought at an antiques store. Sometimes I told people it had been my mother's, conjuring an old money family that didn't exist. Oh, how I loved the idea of a mother who'd wear such an elegant timepiece on a slim wrist. My actual mother, in contrast, had a tattoo of a snake on her hand. It was 11 o'clock p.m., which was definitely too late. Riding their bikes around the neighborhood, they said Annette. Her son, Bobcat, was rail-thin and 6'3", a reluctant ninth-grade basketball star. Despite Bobcat insisting he just wanted to build computers in his room, Annette's husband forced their son to keep playing. During the last game of the season, an opponent elbowed Bobcat hard in the soft place underneath his ribcage. It was awful to see Bobcat's face crumple in pain, but he only glanced toward the stands at his father and didn't make a sound. When my son, Charlie, went over his mountain bike handles on a trail and cut his forehead, I felt his pain viscerally. I could scarcely watch him pedal away, even now that he wore the most expensive safety equipment available, a $200 full-face helmet, padded bike shorts, neck brace, wrist, elbow, and knee pads, and a back protector made of VPD, whatever that was. Despite Charlie's complaints, I'd bought all the items at Dick's Sporting Goods on layaway. The sign above the gear was a siren call. You can buy the feeling of safety. Sure, the other kids made fun of him with his braces and helmets, but I'd rather my son be embarrassed than dead. It was possible, as Charlie had suggested gently, that I had anxiety issues. Maybe, as he'd said, I should use our money to talk to someone. But you couldn't see a therapist on layaway, now could you? I'd handle my brain when I'd somehow gotten Charlie to college without any major bodily damage. Splurging on things that made me feel more secure was working for me, so I ignored Charlie's complaints and insinuations and loved him hard and bought him safety equipment. Annette went to every game wearing Austin High colors from head to toe. She had platinum blonde hair and bronze skin, wide brown eyes. She carefully sculpted her thick eyebrows into perfect arches, accented her high cheekbones and naturally plump lips with drugstore makeup, and wore expensive jewelry at all times. When Lewis, who had been too short to play basketball himself, led cheers for Bobcat from the stands and stomped his feet on the bleachers, tried to start the wave and was largely ignored, Annette stood by his side. We all loved Lewis, his childlike enthusiasm, but Annette knew, as we all did, that Bobcat played only to please his father, but really came alive when explaining the best graphics card for his latest home-built PC. Lewis wanted his son to be the athlete he'd dreamed of becoming himself. He couldn't fathom a person with physical gifts not wanting to use them. I thought it was just a matter of time before Bobcat either became who he was meant to be or stopped trying. Did Annette defend her son behind closed doors? Or was marriage about acquiescence, silencing yourself in the name of marital harmony?